Good evening. A new year, and we begin once again studying the Torah from Bereishis, from the beginning. What I'd like to discuss is to look first at Kiddush that we recite Friday night. The Kiddush that we say Friday night invokes creation. It begins a Yom HaShishi v'chula shamaretz v'chol tzva'am. It quotes and cites the seventh day of creation, and the fact that God rested. It begins with quoting actually the sixth day, Yom HaShishi. It's all interesting side question why it begins with Yom HaShishi. But the main focus is then the final psukim that actually describe Hashem resting on the seventh day. And then we recite the bracha Bori Pri HaGafen. And then there's an additional paragraph where we say another bracha, bracha ta Hashem, lokinu mel cholam, asher kidisham, tzavet v'ratza bano, v'shabas kadsho, v'varatzoni chatanu. We talk about the fact that Hashem, out of love, and pleasure, and favor, God gave us the Shabbos. And then we say that Shabbos is a zikaron l'masei bereishis, that Shabbos is a remembrance for the going out of, for the creation of the world, of Zikaron the Masei Bereishis. And then the next line, we then invoke a different, very important event in world history, not only the creation of the world, Kiyom Techilah the Mikroi Kodesh, Zech Litzias Mitzrayim. It also is a remembrance for the going out of Egypt. And so we invoke both of these events, the creation as well as the Exodus. And what I like to ask and to discuss this evening is, I actually understand a little bit better the fact that we invoke Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because after all, Shabbos, the Gemara tells us, and the Torah emphasizes itself, is something that was specifically given to the Jewish people. Right? It's a special gift given to the Jewish people. Only Jews observe the Shabbos. The Gemara goes as far as to say that if a non-Jew observes Shabbos on some level, they're guilty of a capital offense. Only a Jew is allowed to observe Shabbos. In fact, it's interesting when someone's learning to convert to Judaism, become a Jew, they're actually, some say, are supposed to even violate one thing on Shabbos. You know, they're practicing to be Jewish and they want to start doing mitzvos. And they have to practice and see how to observe Shabbos. But they should, turn on the lights, do something to violate Shabbos, because you only completely can observe Shabbos when you become a Jew. So if that's the case, the story of creation is a universal story. That's when God created the world for all humanity. It's not on the surface specific for the Jewish people. As opposed to Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, that was something that was done specially for the Jewish people. That demonstrated God's involvement in this world, the fact that God cares about us. It was very singular in terms being directed towards the Jewish people. And so in the future, if I want to talk about the special relationship that Shabbos allows me to think about and reflect upon, the relationship between us and the Jewish people and God, I should focus on the Exodus. That should be the cause and the reason for why we observe Shabbos. It's about this beautiful, very intimate, close relationship that we, the Jewish people, have with God. Again, gracious, the creation, that's universal, that's for all humanity. And just to reinforce the question, the Ibn Ezra, in his commentary in Parshas Yisro, where the Torah tells us about the Aseret Dibros, the Ten Commandments given at Sinai, so the Ibn Ezra quotes his, according to some, it's his father-in-law, the famous Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is bothered by, or just asks the basic question, why is it when Hashem introduces himself in the Ten Commandments, Anochi Hashem Lokacha, I am Hashem, your God. So famously, he doesn't say, I'm your Lord, your God, Asher Baruch Shemayim V'aretz, who created heaven and earth. But rather, he says, I'm the Lord, your God, Asher Otzei Sicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim, who took you out of Egypt. Like, that's who I am. Now, I would think saying, I'm the God who created heaven and earth, that's much more grand. That's much more powerful and awesome. You know, the entire world, this entire universe, every very existence is because of this God. And that's why, you know, you should believe in me. Instead, it's very, again, very focused, very limited, a specific event in history, the Exodus from Egypt. And the answer that's often given is that, yes, God created the world, but for the Jewish people, what is most meaningful is the fact that God continues to be involved in the world. The fact that God is didn't just create the world and leave it for us, for human beings, but that God is involved, God cares, and specifically the Jewish people, that I am Lord your God, says God to the Jewish people. I took you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I saw your suffering and your moment of pain and what you endured in Egypt. And I care about you, and I want to start this relationship with you, giving you this Torah specifically to you and my children. I recalled earlier, but Bechori Yisrael, my firstborn, my firstborn. That's a term that he invokes when he tells Moshe at the burning bush. And therefore, again, for the Jewish people, what's more an intimate event and a more intimate godly connection is not necessarily the creation, but it's the Exodus. So, and yet, Friday night, we are very careful to invoke not only the going out of Egypt, Zech L'Yetzias Mitzrayim, but also Zikaron L'Ma'aseh Bereishis, to recall creation as well. Of course, that's Shabbos, it all began with God resting at the time of creation. But why is that so important to remember? Why on the day of Shabbos, which ultimately is about us, the Jewish people, thinking about our relationship with God and our responsibilities to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why should we go all the way back to creation? Again, it's important to know that God is the creator of the world, but why specifically on Shabbos is that so important? Why when we begin the Shabbos and we sit at our table, we hold our Kiddush cup with our wine, why is that the first thing out of our mouths? Yom HaShishi, V'chush Ma'aretz V'chol Tzvakam, and before we mention Zech L'Yetzias Mitzrayim, we first mention Zikaron L'Ma'aseh Bereishis. So I think in order to answer that question, you have to go back and ask another fundamental question of what is the book of Bereishis all about? What's the purpose of the Sefer Bereishis? Because after all, this is famously Rashi's original implied question, first comment, observation in the entire Torah, is after all, isn't the Torah a book of law? Right? At the end of the day, isn't the Torah a law book that was given to the Jewish people telling us what we need to do, what we should do, what we shouldn't do in this world? It's a book of mitzvahs. And therefore, Rashi famously asked, he quotes Amar Reb Yitzchak, the Torah really should have began in the middle or towards the beginning of the book of Shavuos, specifically Parshas Bo, where the first mitzvah was given to the Jewish people. HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, which is an important mitzvah. We're going to observe Rosh Chodesh. It's coming Matzah Shabbos, Sunday and Monday, Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. The Torah should begin there with the first mitzvah, because it's a law book. And therefore, Matam, says Rashi, Matam Pasach B'Bereishis. Bereishis is nice, it's cute, it's a good story to tell the kids. But at the end of the day, what do I need it for? Why? It's ostensibly the Torah is a book of law. It's not a book of stories. And that's Rashi's famous opening question. It's a very important question to think about. Why do we have this book of Bereishis? So Rashi, again, famously Rashi's answer, it's a powerful answer Rashi gives, is that Rashi tells us, and he writes the script for Benjamin Netanyahu for what he needs to say when next time he goes to the UN. And speaks to the nations of the world. And when the nations of the world are going to accuse us, the Jewish people, of taking the land of Israel, wasn't originally ours. That's a fact. Originally, there were other people living there, the seven nations. They were there first, right? When God even told Avram, Lech Lecha, to go, there were other people who were already living there. And the Jewish people in mass, at the time of the Exodus, after traveling 40 years in the desert, came upon the land of Israel, it wasn't a desolate land. There were many nations there that they had to confront, and they ultimately defeated, and they had to drive out. What gave the Jews the right to do that? What gave the Jews the right in the late 1800s, early 1900s, to return the Zionist movement and to plant the Israeli flag and to create a state? There are other people living there. All right, that's a fact. There are Arabs living all over the place. All right, there's enough room for everyone, but... plenty of room, but then at the end of the day, we weren't there. There are other people who were there. What gives us the right? So that's a That's an important question to answer. And therefore, Rashi tells us, you know what the answer is? The answer is gracious. Right? Shem Yomer Umas Olam Yisrael Listim Atem. You're Ganavim. You're stealing this land. Other people, you stole the land from the Shiva Amen, from the seven nations. So you know what we're going to answer? You know what Bibi can say at the UN? Okay, but that's true. But this is more important. Haim Omrim Lahem Kol Aretz Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire earth, forget the land of Israel, the entire earth belongs to God. The entire universe belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's created it. Hu Bara, he created it. How do I know? Because it's Bracious Barlakim? Getting him, God created. Hu Bara, Vinas Nashir Yashar Be'inav. And then he decides who he's going to give it to. He owns it. It's his real estate. He can give it who he wants to. Ritzono Naslam. Originally, yeah, you're right. He gave it to them, to the seven nations. Ritzono Natla Mayhem, Vinastalano. At the end, he took it from them and gave it to us. He can decide who he wants. And he wants to kick us out too. It's his land. It's his land. Okay, and according to Rashi, that's why we need Bereishis. That's why we need Sefer Bereishis to establish that critical, important fact. Of course, Benjamin Netanyahu is not going to use this next time he speaks in the UN. He's not going to say, oh, Rashi, that Rashi's the answer. Probably won't fly, but I always understood this to mean that this message that Rashi was giving is not necessarily a message that we're going to deliver in a speech at the UN, but it's a speech to ourselves. It's to reinforce within us. And I think it's very powerful, especially if you think when Rashi lived during the times of the Crusades. You know, when the Jews, you know, who was, the Jews weren't even a part of the conversation about Israel at the time. Right? It was the Muslims and the Christians were fighting over Israel. The Jews were in exile. The Jews were in their villages and their towns and in Europe and scattered throughout the Middle East and Babel and Egypt, North Africa, in exile. Right? There's in Rashi's time there was persecutions in northern France, the Crusaders, and the last thing on a Jew's mind is living in Israel, and you see, you might be miyash, might give up hope and say, you know, we're going to get Israel? The answer is, yeah. Whatever God decides, God owns it. God owns it. And if it's not right, if now's not the time, so maybe in 1948 will be the time. Right? And then God will give us the other land. So that's Rashi. That's Rashi's explanation as to why we need gracious. But Rashi, interesting, is not the only one to ask this question. And it's not the only approach. The Netziv lived in the 1800s. And he always gives a beautiful introduction to every sefer in Chumash. So that the Rosh Yeshiva, the Vilajan Yeshiva, he asks, you know, this question: what is Bereishis all about? And he quotes Chazal. He quotes our rabbis who say that the Brook of Bereishis is actually referred to. They call it Sefer Hayashar. They give a name to every sefer. For example, Vayikra is Torah's Kahana. It's the Torah of the Kohana, right? The book of the Korbanos, the laws of the sacrifices. This book, Bereishis, is Sefer HaYashar, which means the book of the upright. And what does that mean? And so he says very beautifully, he says that this is the book of our patriarchs and our matriarchs, right? This is the book that teaches us how they lived their lives, of how they conducted themselves. And it's ultimately for us to learn from their actions. And he shows how they are referred to as Yesharim. They are the upright ones. And they were the tzaddikim. They were the righteous ones. And to learn from them, to see how Avraham, you know, prayed for and tried to defend even the wicked people of Sodom. And to think about you know, Yaakov and Yitzchak and Avram and how they interacted with their neighbors. That the Torah, yeah, like it's a book of law, but this is actually, I would say, this, like, he didn't use these words, this is part of the law. This is the ethical law. This is, you know, how we're supposed to interact with other people, with other human beings. And therefore, according to the Nitziv, that's the function of Bereishis, right? It's, and it's often with children and adults as well. You know, through stories, you're able to convey powerful messages. And for us as a people, we learn the story of the Avos and the Imos and see how they acted, how they conducted themselves. Also see the negative behavior, you know, of people like Lavan and Esav, and we can learn very powerful and meaningful lessons from the Book of Bereishis. That's the approach of the Nitziv. The Ramban invokes another approach, and it's based upon a teaching that the rabbis already said, that Masa Avos Simen Labanim, that the actions of our forefathers are assigned to their children, which could mean, very simply, to Nitziv, that the actions of our forefathers are a similar sign for how we, the children, should conduct ourselves, how we should live our lives. But the Ramban goes a step further, and he says that actually what the Book of Bereishis does, it foreshadows everything that will follow for the Jewish people throughout the rest of the Torah. The Mas Avos, what happened to our forefathers, what our forefathers did, how they conducted themselves and the lives that they led, and the experiences that they shared, those same things will repeat themselves to their children. And therefore, for example, Avram, right, goes down to Egypt, and when he's in Egypt, he has all these problems with Paro in Mitzrayim. Well, guess what? His children too are going to go down to Egypt, and they too are going to have challenges with the Paro in Mitzrayim, and you know, in Yitzchak, and having challenges with the various people in the land of Israel, with Avimelech, and having to battle over, you know, rights to wells and things of that nature. Well, the Jewish people in Israel are also going to face challenges with the people living in Israel. And the Ramban, throughout his commentary, in Sefer Bereishis, you know, demonstrates different things that occur to the Avos that get repeated time and time again with the children, with the Jewish people, with the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov throughout our existence as well. And the Ramban goes a step further, and he says sometimes even some of the actions of the Avos directly cause what's going to incur to the children. So, for example, the Ramban is very harsh when suggesting that actually the entire slavery that the Jews experienced in Egypt was on some level punishment for how Avram as well as Sarah conducted themselves with Hagar in terms of sending her away. That's a pretty powerful suggestion by the other Ramban. But that's his approach in general to the Book of Bereishis. So the Book of Bereishis is critical to understanding everything else that follows in the Torah. Everything that's going to occur is foreshadowed in the Book of Bereishis through the actions and through the behavior and through the storyline of what occurs to the Avos. So you have these different approaches. Again, we started with this basic question. Why is it Friday night on Shabbos we invoke creation? In other words, I understand that obviously Shabbos is patterned after creation. Right? Shabbos, we rest just like God rested on the seventh day. But at the end of the day, Shabbos is something that is unique for us, the Jewish people, to celebrate our relationship with Hashem. And if that's the case, right? I cited the Gemara. The Gemara says non-Jews not even allowed to observe Shabbos. It's exclusively for us, the Jewish people. And but Bereishis, the story of creation, is one it's a universal message, right? It's everyone was, you know, all human beings stem from Adam and from you know, God creating the world. Not something specific to the Jewish people. In fact, the Ran, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, says one of the reasons that we are judged on Rosh Hashanah is because on the sixth day going into the seventh day is when Adam Arishon sinned, right? The sixth parasha as well. He was judged, but ultimately, right, even though he sinned with the eating, you know, from the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, he was exonerated, right? He was given another chance. And therefore, we see that there's a concept of forgiveness, that the concept of rachamim, of mercy and compassion. And according to our one school of thought and tradition, when did that all occur? It all occurred on the first day of Tishrei. The world was created on the 25th of Tishrei, the first day of Tishrei. Adam is created going into Shabbos, and that's why we're judged. But who's judged according to that? Says the Ran, everyone's judged. Right? We say in the Sanatoriyah, Chol Bei Olam, all the world, all creatures, right? All human beings pass before God. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish or not, right? But it's a universal message, the one of the story of creation. But Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the other thing that we invoke in the Kiddush, well, that's for the Jewish people, right? That's specifically God caring about us, the Jewish people, seeing our predicament, our suffering in Egypt, and saving us, rescuing us, creating this relationship with us. So, again, on Friday night, I would think as I'm welcoming the Shabbos, I should discuss the going out of Egypt, just like the Ten Commandments begins with Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoceicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. It does not at all invoke the creation of the world. So why is it so important to invoke creation? And so therefore that led to the question, well, what's the whole purpose of the Torah even telling us about creation? And so we saw these four different approaches. Rashi's approach, you know, that it reminds the Jewish people that the land, that the world was created by God, and God can give any part of the world whoever he wants to. So if the nations ever suggest and claim that we've stolen the land, we'll just say, no, we didn't steal land, it's God's land, and God, can give it to whoever he wants. We saw the idea of the Netziv, that Bereishis tells us lessons, moral, ethical lessons that we learn from the Avos. We saw this additional idea of the Ramban, of that it foreshadows the future. But I want to suggest, I'm not the first one who made the suggestion, many before me have said this as well, that what else does Bereishis do? And I think this will very much then connect to Shabbos. So, on the surface, it's correct. The Ibn Ezra, Ibn Ezra quoting, his father-in-law, Yehuda Levi, shouldn't the Torah begin with creation? Because, again, creation, after all, is where it all began. The Ten Commandments, God introducing himself, he should do the most monumental thing he ever did, is creation of the world. And that is the most monumental thing on really that God ever did. In fact, he created this world, that everything that's here is because of God, saying, ye yor, let there be light, and God going through the stages of creation. So everything began from there. But what's interesting is that, if you go through then the book of Bereishis, and Bereishis really works this through very well, when God creates the world, he creates Adam, he creates man, and Chava, and they have children. There's no discussion at the beginning of a Jewish people, right? This Adam, we don't consider Adam to be the first Jew. He's the first person, Adam HaRishon. And there's no discussion, God saying to Adam, you're going to have one ancestor who I'm going to select that's going to be, my special nation. There's nothing about it. And you get the sense that God creates the world, he creates Adam, and all human beings that emanate from Adam are going to have this very beautiful connection to God. They're God's creatures. We say in the sixth partial, they're all created, but Tzemel Kim, in the image of God. They're all created in the image, all human beings are created in the image of God. And so what happens? Then you start reading the book, and you see that, unfortunately, human beings make one mistake after another. Right, and by the time you get to the end of even Parshas Bereishis, before you even get to next week's Parsha of Noach and the flood, already things have not gone well at all. There's all these things that are taking place, and the God of Vayinachem Hashem, God regrets even creating man, and ultimately God brings the flood. And then what happens? So he starts anew with Noach and his family. Now, was Noach the first Jew? No, Noach is not a Jew. There's no Jewish people. And yet, unfortunately, once again, this seems to be a failure. And you can discuss is the failure as great as the failure of the original descendants of Adam? Does God only not destroy Noah's descendants because he made a promise, the rainbow, not to destroy the world again? But it's just not going well. Until all of a sudden, Shalom Aleichem, one morning, one fine day, there's an Avram that's born. And there's an Avram that discovers God. And there's an Avram that God says, you know what? Lach lecha, go on this journey, and I'm going to make you into a great nation. And then the entire book of Bereishis is about the development of that nation. Right? And it's not all Avram's descendants that are going to make it, right? Yishmael falls away, and then there's Yitzchak. Then Yitzchak has children. All Yitzchak's children make it, right? Esav drops off, and you have Yaakov. And then finally, with Yaakov, and it's not easy, right? It's very complicated and messy. Ultimately, it's his children. It's his family. It's his 70 descendants who go down to Egypt, and then the entire story of the Egyptian experience unfolds. And therefore, the book of Bereishis, in addition to all these other very important messages that Rashi suggests, and that Tziv suggests, and Rabban suggests, the book of Bereishis really tells us why there is a Jewish people. Right? What's the purpose of the Jewish people? And again, this is not my idea, but many have suggested this before, that, you know, that perhaps the purpose of the Jewish people is for us, the Jewish people, to impact the rest of the world. It's for us to be God's ambassadors to sort of correct what did not take place originally. That all human beings, all descendants of Adam should recognize God and should follow basic moral, ethical behaviors and to conduct themselves in a fashion that reflects the fact that we're created in God's image. That's the role of the Jewish people. That's always the role. Whenever God makes something holy, the purpose of making something holy is always to then impact what he took that holy thing from. Like God takes Shabbos, makes it separate. Shabbos then is supposed to influence the rest of the week. The Kohen is supposed to influence the rest of the Jewish people, and the Jewish people are supposed to influence the rest of the world. And so, if this is correct, if this approach this is the reason why there is a book of Bereishis, that it establishes the background and allows us to understand why there is a Jewish people. And why is it, as Rashi said, why is it, you know, again, ultimately it's a law book, but why does God give this law only to the Jewish people? So I need the backstory first. I need to know what happened. I need to know there was a creation. And originally it was supposed to maybe be everyone, but it didn't work out. Ultimately, it was through Avram and his family and a certain segment of his family that God created this special nation. And that the goal of that nation is not just to look inward and to think about only themselves, but to be an example or like going a light to all the nations. And so if that's the case, I'd like to end off by making the following suggestion. So again, I asked about Kiddush Friday night. And why do we invoke Bereishis? Right? I understand why we invoke Mitzrayim. Again, that's what God did specifically, especially for the Jewish people. But you know why I think we invoke Bereishis? Because it reminds us of who we are as Jews, but why we have this special connection. Because God, in fact, did create a world where there was an Adam Harishon, a world in which on the surface, all human beings should have had this very, intimate connection with God, but it didn't work out. But we decided through our actions, through our behaviors, we singularly decided to keep up that relationship, to be God's ambassadors. That we stood at Sinai, we ultimately said Nasa v'nishma. We're totally committed. We're totally in God. We'll do what you tell us to do. But we have to remember that it's ultimately not just about us, it's about how we then carry ourselves, how we conduct ourselves, what the example that we set for the rest of the world. And therefore, when we say the Kiddush Friday night, so and how do we finish off? Again, so we begin with the story of creation. Yom HaShishi V'Chush Ma'am Ratz Chotzon, that there was a Shabbos. And the Shabbos is something that's given now exclusively to us, the Jewish people. And why? Because Zeich L'Masei Bereishis. Because it goes all the way back to creation and what God ultimately wanted for the entire world. Everyone should have a relationship with God. But we are the ones who are carrying the torch. We are the ones who decided to, uh, know, to be the ones to set that example. And therefore, we remember Masse Yetzias Mitzrayim. We remember, therefore, that God, since we accepted this upon ourselves, that God cares so much about us and he took us out of Egypt. But then how do we end off the Kiddush? I think this is so beautiful. I'll never forget one of our members, Esther Posner. She once told me that she remembers growing up, I believe this is after her family fled Germany, was in Amsterdam before the war. She remembered how her father would say Kiddush Friday night, and tears would flow from his eyes when he would say the following: Kivanu v'charta v'osanu kidashta mikol amim. That God, that you chose us, right? For us did you choose, and us osanu us kidashta, you sanctify mikol amim, amongst all the nations of the world. God, you made this singular connection with us. You sanctified us and created this intimate connection, relationship between just us and you, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But why did he do that? Why do we have that? Because we have a responsibility. All right, it's not just about us, but about us being ambassadors to the world. And for us, you know, it's a gift that God chose us, but that gift comes with expectations. And it's so important for us to take our role so seriously, and to make sure that we always sanctify God's name, and to use a Shabbos to remind ourselves of who we are and about, you know, what we're supposed to be doing on this world. And to be grateful for the relationship that we have with God, but also to hope that the entire world will recognize the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they'll all recognize, you know, that there's a creator, and that there's things that God wants from each and every human being, and maybe ultimately to go back to creation, to how things were originally envisioned, where the entire, all human beings, descending from Adam, should connect to God. Shabbos is a special opportunity for us who've made this choice and who have demonstrated our commitment to Hashem to renew that connection and to strengthen that connection. But it's also this moment for us to understand that there's a Zeich L'Maseh Bereishis, that there's a God who's a God of the entire earth, and that it's our role through our devotion to God to serve as God's ambassadors in the world.